Cape Talk.
A world view from London.
It's a world view with John Adley, who joins us this week, standing in for Adam Gilchrist. John, a pleasure. Thank you so much again. We're going to be starting with yet another mass shooting, a school mass shooting in the United States. The latest coming out of Nashville. Six people, including three children, aged 9, shot dead.
Yeah.
Can't say I'm shocked or surprised, because it's a regular occurrence in the United States.
It is. It is a regular occurrence. Good morning. No less shocking, of course. Maybe more shocking because 3 9-year-old children, as you say. Also, the head teacher of the school, who's been named a 60-year-old, Catherine Kuntz, and a man and a woman aged 61. Yeah, this is a former student, they think, maybe someone who resented being sent to the school. They're not quite sure. She's been named as 28-year-old Audrey Hale, who police say identified as transgender. She shot her way through the front entrance, armed with assault rifles and a handgun. Apparently, they'd been legally obtained. And police say they found a manifesto amongst her possessions and a map drawn out of how all this was going to take place. The Nashville mayor, John Cooper, said he was overwhelmed by the loss of life in the shooting. 14 minutes from start to finish, all it took to take the lives of 6 people, he said. Those guns stole precious lives from us today, from Nashville. It's one other intriguing point here. Okay, you know, mass shootings are more common than they are in some countries, but female mass shooters, incredibly rare. It's only thought 4 of 191 mass shootings were women. And President Biden's ordered U.S. flags to be flown at half-mast. And he's again urged the U.S. Congress to pass legislation banning assault rifles. But he's finding that an uphill battle, not surprising, of course, because of the very strong, influential gun lobby in the States.
Of course, this largely coming into the broader world's eye and during the Columbine shootings of the 1990s. And that is when we had how many presidents ago? Bill Clinton president during the time of a Columbine shooting. And every president, I exclude George W. Bush and Donald Trump as being the Republican presidents at the time, with responding to their base, has largely called for stricter gun legislation, falling on deaf ears in terms of states and also the Congress.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, the gun lobby is very influential as well, politically as well. So, you know, it is a force to be reckoned with, and it is just part of their culture, isn't it? You would have thought things like this, particularly, you know, children involved, would change the narrative. Maybe it will. But as you say, consecutive presidents haven't managed to change that yet. But, I think President Biden would like it to be one of his legacies. Mm. But, you know, whether he's going to succeed, time will tell. Will he get more time, of course, with a second term? That's a question for next year, of course.
And then we've just spoke to our correspondent in Paris, France, about ongoing protests there. But there have been strike action in Germany that has brought public transport in that country to an almost standstill.
Yeah, reasonably unusual, actually, to have this kind of action in Germany. I think it's a sign of discontent, isn't it, globally, over many things, cost of living, I don't know, the impact of the pandemic, war in Ukraine. It's all of that, isn't it? And it's quite unusual for trade unions in Germany to join forces as well. And when they do that, of course, there's a huge impact. And they're just coming out of this 24-hour strike, public transport almost ground to a halt. They're warning of more delays, by the way, today as well. They cancelled most flights, trains, ferries and buses. Workers in Germany looking for at least a 10% boost to their salaries to cope with the rapidly rising prices in Germany. That's really familiar, isn't it? Europe's biggest economy, but Germany's been hit by a series of strikes. And there's still militancy in the air here in the UK too. I can sniff it. It's all around us here. We've had a winter of discontent, multiple strikes affecting the railways, schools, universities, and the health service as well, very notably. And it ain't over yet. It's just been announced that 130,000 civil servants in the UK have voted to go on strike next month over pay, pensions and job security. And just when they thought the strikes in schools might have been over, No, the union haven't managed to reach a deal with the government despite intensive talks. So kids and parents may be enduring further strikes in schools in England too soon.
Yeah, I think there's a general skepticism in the project of democracy around the world. It's a worrying trend. I know there was a recent survey done over in major Western countries, and something like 46% of respondents said that, you know, they wouldn't mind skipping elections if we had some sort of strong figure. It's very, very worrying, and actually mirrors a recent study in South Africa that showed that half of South Africans would want some sort of strong man figure if there was a level of service delivery. So I think there's this growing sense and general skepticism in the democratic project that's sort of filtering its way around the world. And then finally, a surprise court appearance in London for Prince Harry. He, of course, has that suit against newspapers in the UK.
Yep, he does. Harry and Meghan have got various cases, largely against members of the media. This time it's the publishers of the Daily Mail newspaper. And it was a surprise that suddenly he stepped out of a car and into the High Court, bumping into photographers on his way in. We think it's his first trip over to the UK from California since the Queen's funeral in September. And Prince Harry smiled as he went into court. I think just the fact he's there shows how serious he takes this case against him. And he also wants to show solidarity with the others involved in the case, most notably Sir Elton John. He was in court as well yesterday. It was a bit of a celeb fest. Sadie Frost, Liz Hurley and others. They're all accusing the publisher of the Daily Mail of, well, various things: phone hacking, corrupt links to private investigators, accessing bank accounts, obtaining medical records by deception. Just on that, I was intrigued by one of the allegations in court. They heard claims that the Daily Mail's publishers obtained Elton John and his husband David Furnish's first child's birth certificate before the couple had even got to see it themselves. Well, the Mail has strongly denied all the allegations. It says there's no evidence to back them, and it will defend them robustly if the case progresses. This is just preliminary hearing, so it's up to the judge to decide after 4 days whether there's scope for actually taking the case further. And there was Prince Harry, apparently sat near the back of the courtroom, occasionally scribbling in a small black notebook. Lots of other questions around this, of course, because he is, you know, he makes headlines, obviously, and there's all these questions swirling around about his relationship with the rest of the royal family, particularly when he comes over to the UK, a rare visit. Now, you would have thought he might have found time to speak to his dad or see his dad, because although King Charles was due to be in France on Sunday, that was cancelled at the last minute. So you would have thought that he had time in his diary, but Buckingham Palace apparently said no, he wasn't in London, he wasn't in Windsor. And Prince Harry, we think, was staying on the estate in Windsor, where he's got a house, although he's been given notice, by the way, on that property, a short walk away from his brother William and Kate's house, but apparently they're away with their kids for Easter holidays. So we don't think that, we're not convinced that Prince Harry will be seeing any of his members of the family. No chance of reconciliation now. And the next big question, of course, which is going to go on for weeks, is whether he's going to have an invite, whether he's going to turn up. Well, we think he's probably got an invite, but is he going to turn up at his father's coronation in May? We'll have to wait and see.
John Adley, really appreciate your time. Looking forward to chatting to you tomorrow on The Worldview. Have a good one. Bye-bye.